Welcome to the second in our podcast series entitled Architecture 2020. I'm Keith Diaz Moore. This podcast continues the dialogue regarding the rapid evolution in professional architectural practice by focusing on the changing nature of project delivery. Bill Quatman, an attorney with Sugart, Thompson, and Kilroy, is an internationally recognized expert in the area of design build. Not only is he an attorney, but he's also a licensed architect and a fellow in the American Institute of Architects. This rare combination, together with a passion for innovative delivery methods, has developed into an expertise that is highly sought throughout the world. He is the author of countless publications on design build, including the must-read book, Design Build for the Design Professional. On December 7th, Bill sat down with Architecture 2020 for a discussion on emerging project delivery methods. Bill, you're an internationally recognized expert on non-traditional delivery methods, particularly design build. What major changes in delivery methods have you witnessed in the last 10 years, and which changes do you feel are only beginning?
Well, the change that I've seen in the profession was longer than 10 years ago. About 20 years ago, we really started to see the influx of design build as a project delivery method. It has taken off more rapidly in the last 10 years, but the growth really started probably in 1985 or so, and it has taken a real lock on the profession, actually the whole industry. We see more and more projects going design-build in both the public and private sector, especially in the public sector, and that's having a real dramatic change in the profession as I see it.
What kind of changes, how would you characterize those changes?
You know, it really depends on your perspective. From the owner's perspective, they see them as very positive. The owners are getting, through a single point contract through a design builder, are getting more reliable estimates because the contractor is involved during the design phase and is pricing the project as the design develops. They're getting more reliable schedules because, again, the contractor is engaged early on and can participate in sequencing and material selection, things that affect schedule. And ultimately, they're getting projects that have less change orders because there are fewer design changes during construction. And if there are design changes, they're changes that the owner doesn't pay for. So the owners see it as a real plus. The contractors also like it because they, for maybe a century, have been subordinate to the architect, where the architect's been the owner's representative, the owner's agent on the project site, wearing the white hard hat, carrying a clipboard, and critiquing the contractor's work. Now the roles are reversed. The architect is a subcontractor to the general contractor. And the contractors love that. One contractor, large firm, told me years ago, he said, you know, as contractors, we feel like we've been driving this ship for years anyway, and now we've finally taken over the engine room.
Sure.
The architects are the ones not as happy about it, for some obvious reasons. They like that superior role, being above the contractor. They like having a close relationship to the owner where they have a direct contract with the owner. All communication to the contractor goes through them. And now, out of a sudden, the profession has changed to where the architects are subcontractors to general contractors. They don't even have a contract with the client, the end user. Communication goes directly between the owner and the contractor, and the architect's not even in the room when they're talking to each other.
Right.
So it's been a dramatic shift, and I would say most architects I speak to are not happy about it.
Now, how prevalent is design build? We continue to teach students the design bid build model. How prevalent is design build?
Well, and that has to change. The profession of educating architects for the profession has to change. There are some surveys that are done. DBIA, which the Design Build Institute puts out an annual forecast of where we are and where they think the profession is going or the industry is going. And currently they see that design build is about 40 to 45% of the market share, public and private sector work, of non-residential construction. And they forecast that that'll hit the 50% mark within the next 5 years. And from what I see from my perspective in terms of legislation and contracts and projects, it'll absolutely hit that mark in 5 years. So if we're not educating architects for the way that industry is conducting construction, we're not preparing them for the future.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the future. So imagine yourself in an architectural firm in the year 2020. What are the differences you envision for architectural practice from the way it is today?
Traditional procurement, if it's design, bid, build, won't look much different than it does today, except for BIM technology. And I'm not as knowledgeable about building information modeling as others, but what I do know about it is that it is a great tool, and contractors, again, are leading that wave as well. But all offices will be integrated with BIM software, and that type of modeling will happen. In design build settings, which I think will overtake traditional design bid build in the next 5 years, and I don't know where it'll top out, but at some point it will be the predominant method of delivery. Unfortunately, I see most architects still being subcontractors in the year 2020 and resigned to that role, probably still not happy about it, but by 2020 they may get over it and be used to that role, where they will have good contractors they work with who treat them with respect and recognize the value of design and design integrity. I think there will be a slice of the profession, though, that will take the lead in design build and not be a subcontractor, but will actually hold that prime contract directly and manage the construction trades themselves or team with a contractor who will do that management. But I do think that there's a growing frustration about this subcontractor subordinate role, and there's a wave primarily of younger architects, and I see younger architects in their 30s and 40s now, who want to take that lead role on. And I do see that that will be a growing part of the profession, but it will never be a predominant part of the profession.
I guess I'll ask you to think about how would schools prepare students to be able to take those leadership roles in that environment?
I think teaming is a big piece of this. And when we have architectural students who don't leave Marvin Hall or whatever building they're taught in at the various campuses around the country, and all they do is work with architecture students and socialize with architecture students and talk architecture, they're missing an opportunity to integrate, even at the undergraduate level, with the engineering schools and the construction science departments, and to get some team building to start even at the undergraduate level with people that are in a different curriculum, but one in which when they get out in the world, they'll find that they're teaming with and working with. Start building those team building skills in the early level through projects that require that kind of collaboration. I think there are some business skills and construction skills that frankly we don't teach much in school traditionally, that if architects are to take the lead role in a construction project, they need to learn things like project scheduling, cost estimating, project management. And architects are certainly capable of doing all those things, but they're not trained in doing those things. And I know it's a frustration for the academics who say we don't have enough hours even now to teach all the things to be good designers, let alone adding other skills to the curriculum.
Right.
But I think if we're going to prepare people for where the profession's headed and where it'll be in 2020, we'd have to work those courses into the curriculum.
Do you know of any good models that seem to actually bridge that? You know, talk about good design, but also be able to talk about some of these realities of project scheduling, cost estimating.
In terms of firms or schools that are
in terms
this?
Of schools.
Well, one of the best examples is right in your school, University of Kansas. I think Dan Rockhill's Studio 804 is perhaps the finest hands-on design-build program in the world. And I say that because I have been around the world and talked to architects and educators about design-build. And I've read about as much as anybody can read on the subject, and I haven't seen anyone anywhere equal what Dan's done at KU. And in particular, the quality of work that they're putting out there is incredible. But Dan spoke at a conference in London in September of 2007. about his Studio 804 program, and there were attendees from 17 different countries, from Europe, Asia, all over, small island nations even, and everyone was just blown away by what he was accomplishing at the University of Kansas. Barbara Jackson at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo does a very good job with this, integrating the construction science group, the engineering school, and the architecture school in collaborative efforts. And I think she really approaches it differently than Dan does. Dan's is a hands-on building technology class, really, where they design and build a house.
Right.
Barbara is more of a classroom program where they do hypothetical projects on paper, but they develop those teaming skills in that. So those two are probably the leaders right now, I think, in the country.
You mentioned firms before. How about firms? What firms seem to be really skilled at being able to get quality designs out of the design-build process?
There are lots of great examples of great design coming out of the design-build process. Most of them, however, are with the architect as subcontractor to the general. I mean, right here in Kansas City, we have some great examples that have come out in the last year. The H&R Block headquarters downtown, most people are not aware that's a design-build project. H&R Block contracted, selected J.E. Dunn as the contractor and 360 as the architect, and then put them together in really a forced marriage where Dunn held the architectural contract and 360 was a sub to Dunn. But I think it's a wonderful building. The Kansas City Star production plant, which is just across the interstate downtown, across the loop, mm-hmm. is, I think, a fine piece of architecture to take that massive two-block-long production plant and have it be so light and elegant. It was a design-build project. Juan Moreno was the architect, designer, but the firm was Austin Company, and it was an integrated design-build effort where Austin was the designer and the builder. So we've seen some great examples here in town. In terms of firms that have, architectural firms that have taken the lead role and gone out there and held the contract and done everything in-house, one of the best examples is a firm in Denver, Colorado, called Buchanan Yanishewski Group. And Brad Buchanan, one of the principals there, is a fellow of the AIA, FAIA. His firm started as a small firm that wanted to get more hands-on in construction, and they gradually took smaller bites of the project under their wing as construction until they ended up holding the contract and doing everything. So he takes his project architects from the drafting table through the design process, then puts them in the field as the superintendent project manager. And they see the project from beginning to end and love it. These, again, younger architects like being in the field. They like to see their project implemented through the trades instead of handing off their set of plans to a group of unknown subs and generals who will then put it into 3D formation. They get to see that through to the end. He's grown his firm to maybe 50 people now, and they're doing wonderful design. Brad's philosophy is that they want to be a full-service firm to the client, so when the client comes to them, they can get design, construction, financing, planning, whatever the client needs, they want to be able to serve that in-house without having to go to contractors or others for those pieces of the project.
Right. I think you're absolutely right in characterizing young architects. Certainly the students that we're seeing come into our program, they do have this hands-on desire to really build. What do you believe are the greatest challenges that will confront architectural practice over the next 10 years?
Keeping with this theme of design-build, there will be challenges in finding an identity for firms. And what I mean by that is architects have been taught and held themselves out as designers. We're all about design, sustainable design, quality design. We have design awards for recognizing the design.
Right.
But as architects move into the construction end of things, I think there's going to be a question, am I a designer or a contractor, or am I both? And there will be a large number of the profession who will rightfully say we're designers, and design is what we're all about. And when you tell them that you really should consider taking the lead role. The industry's going there. You're going to be left as a sub unless you take the lead. I think they struggle with this identity crisis. Am I now a contractor, or am I still a designer? And can I be both things and do them both well?
Right. Okay. I had the privilege of hearing you give a presentation on some of the changes in the AIA contract documents. And two interesting points that I heard you bring up were that in the schematic design phase, that architects were now going to have to bring in research design criteria into the schematic design phase as part of the contract. And then I believe you also mentioned something kind of on the back end, that a POE, I think a year after POE, was built into the standard contract.
Post-occupancy evaluation.
Right, post-occupancy mm-hmm. evaluation. And it seems as though those both suggest a desire to increase the knowledge base, reach into research, make it applicable to design. Is that something you think the profession is moving towards?
Well, the AIA is certainly pushing the profession that way by putting in the contracts. I don't know that the architects would do that on their own, but for that pushing from the Institute. Certainly on the back end, I think these post-occupancy evaluations are good for everyone. Problems in projects, from my perspective as a lawyer, tend to surface in the first year after completion anyway, when you get the first leaks, cracks, or whatever they are, noisy, HVAC.
Right.
People notice those in the first 12 months of occupancy, and so if you can get in there and correct those issues or refine those issues, the problems can be solved when they're still manageable. So that's a great tool for everyone, the architect, contractor, and the building user. On the front end, you mentioned more research. I know the AIA has put in a new requirement that the architect consider sustainable design with the client, which is the first time that's been put in the AIA documents. And I think that's all part of the sustainability wave we're going through right now in the industry. But that's a good thing. The profession needs to go there. And you talk about education in the future. I know that I'm sure you have talked to other architects, Bob Berkebile, for example, who would tell you that sustainability is where we're headed. And so mandating that by contract is a good thing. We will have to educate our students, though, on what that means, since they're going to be contractually obligated to consider sustainable design. They have to be educated on what that means.
Absolutely. I guess I'll push you a little bit on this, draw upon some of your experiences you had as an architecture student and what you've learned in practice now. There's a theory that studio is a controlled simulation of practice, and our students that are just joining us will be graduating after 2010, closing in on this 2020 mark. What would be the characteristics of a studio that you feel would best exemplify the nature of practice of architecture in 2020?
Well, although Dan Rockhill's program is an excellent model, I don't think we'll have architects swinging hammers and being that hands-on.
Right.
So it's a great building technology class, and it's a great class about design build, but I don't think it emulates an office setting. I think a studio that emulated an office in 2020 would have visits by the construction science department, just to like a contractor will come into the architect's office. They might work on collaborative projects where in the profession today we see architects who will send a staffer to the contractor's office for 6 months and vice versa. The contractor will send somebody to the architect's office on this project so that the communication happens right there in real time. And perhaps we'll see those types of commingling of students in a studio to emulate that office setting. Cost estimating has to become part of the curriculum. It's the thing architects dislike the most.
Right.
I mean, we love design, and we'd like to design for a client that had no budget. But the reality is clients have budgets, and architects are not educated in estimating and generally do a pretty poor job of it, which is why the profession of professional cost estimating has increased, and now architects hire cost estimating consultants to bring that skill in. But in a 2020 office where design build is prevalent and owners need more reliable estimates. That class should have cost estimating as a function of design, not to suppress architects' creativity, but to teach them the real world that everything has to be checked and balanced throughout the design, or you're within budget.
Well, great. I think there's some themes of interdisciplinarity, project management, collaboration that I hear coming through your themes, and it signals a change in the profession as we know it. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with Architecture 2020.
Great. It's been my pleasure. Thank you.